Good morning. It's 8 a.m. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. State lawmakers will review proposed bills to deal with water issues, wildfires, and poverty tomorrow. The measures are the product of months of hearings at the state capitol. Binta Berklin has more.
Every year, lawmakers create interim committees to work on specific issues before next legislative session. This year, eight committees examined a host of topics, ranging from transportation to the prison system and wildfires. The Wildfire Committee is moving forward several proposals that aim to improve how the state responds to wildfires. One measure would pay death benefits to the families of seasonal firefighters who die in a Colorado fire. Another would give counties more authority to require residents to remove trees.
We've tackled some meaty issues, at least in conversation. Where we're really going to see the meaningfulness is what we fund, which means we have to make choices at the budget level.
That's Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango. She served on the Wildfire Matters Review Committee. All the legislation from the various committees will have to first be cleared by legislative leaders before it can go ahead. Many of the measures have bipartisan backing, and with the weight of the committee's support, have a good chance of passing. If legislative leaders don't approve the bills, individual lawmakers could still introduce them separately when the session begins in January. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Last week, an underground pipe at a shuttered uranium mill near Canyon City broke and released contaminated water. It was the third spill at the mill in the past 4 years, and state officials are saying the spill was 5 to 10 times larger than those previous accidents. As the Denver Post reports, a spokesman for the state's Department of Public Health and Environment says around 4,000 to 9,000 gallons of water contaminated with uranium and molybdenum spilled from the broken pipe. That compares to spills under 1,000 gallons from 2010 and 2012. The state spokesman says the spill didn't reach outside the mill's property and that the spill was collected as planned, adding that the spill was, quote, just a leaky pipe and didn't reveal any negligence on the part of the company. Still, at least one group concerned with such spills says the incident represents a threat to groundwater supplies. According to the Post, Travis Stills, with the group Colorado Citizens Against Toxic Waste, said the public health department's response to the spill showed a, quote, indifference to the value citizens place on groundwater. The mill, owned by the Cotter Corporation, dates to the Cold War era and was opened until 1979. It was later declared a Superfund disaster site in 1984. In the future, the forests surrounding aspen will look different. Already, mountain shrubs are replacing some aspen strands and changing the complexion of the area, likely because of a warming climate. Neighboring Pitkin County is now tracking these shifts on open space properties. A couple of nonprofit organizations are helping. The new data is thanks to a pair of towers that's tracking things like soil moisture and temperature. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin has more.
We'll go up here and then we'll leave and go into this kind of north-facing draw that has a grove of aspen. So there's a stand of aspen, and that's where we located the tower.
John Katzenberger of the Aspen Global Change Institute leads a small group of scientists up a snowy trail above Snowmass Village. The switchbacked route is part of a 2,300-acre piece of public land known as open space. About a mile away is a soil moisture monitoring tower that's hidden among aspen trees.
The goal of the day is just a maintenance check before the closure of the trail December 1st. Maintenance check on the equipment, which includes a bunch of weather sensors and 3 soil sensors at different depths.
The tower is just off trail and hard to spot at first.
Yeah, it's kind of tucked away, so it doesn't kind of take from the natural vista when people are hiking.
At the base of the tower, 3 sensors underground measure soil moisture at different depths. They're connected to wires that snake up the tower.
And it comes up. It's wrapped in this foil tape so that critters don't nibble on the plastic and eat to the wire. And the tower itself is anchored down, and it's about 10 feet tall.
The sensors plug into a data logger that sends real-time measurements to Katzenberger's desk several miles away in a warm office. The equipment also measures temperature and relative humidity. A rain gauge at the tip-top also gives clues about moisture levels. Soil moisture measurements are most important. They give a window into how much water the trees are getting. This stand was affected by a recent drought.
The trees are brown.
A certain percentage of them are dead, yeah. And so that's what we think, is it's a stand in transition. Which way it'll go will depend on the climate and a number of other factors.
Over time, the measurements will reveal whether this aspen stand can survive, or the data could show it dying off, with new kinds of vegetation replacing it. Ultimately, the information will show the effects of climate change and help land managers adjust to future changes.
It saves our resources in the future by doing the right prescriptions for what is going to be coming in the future.
Gary Tenenbaum with Pitkin County manages Sky Mountain Park, where the data collection site is located. He worked with Katzenberger and another nonprofit, the Aspen Center for Environmental Studies, to erect the tower. The county purchases open space properties to protect land from development and for public recreation. Every purchase includes a prescription for the land, like thinning vegetation if the trees are dense and old, or planting new trees in drought-affected forests. Under climate change, these prescriptions could change.
Climate change is going to change the overall look of our forests and what species are there, but how drastically and where and when. So we don't want to be planting, you know, aspens in an area that aspens can't handle. So why don't you prepare for the management of the future and start preparing for the species that are going to come in?
He's counting on data from the tower to give a glimpse of how local forests will change in the coming years. Back along the snowy trail, John Katzenberger of the Aspen Global Change Institute says he'd like to see soil moisture sensors installed throughout the valley to see how climate change is affecting forests at different elevations.
There's a few other places in the valley, like in a riparian habitat, and then further down towards Glenwood where it's drier, get a sense of what the soil moisture is doing there. And you're basically going from lower montane and scrub, you know, all the way up to subalpine and alpine in our one valley. And so it's like a great living laboratory.
So far, this tower is gathering data along with another one on Smuggler Mountain in Aspen. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
And that report comes to us from Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a collaboration of public and community radio stations across the state of Colorado. Some Republican lawmakers in western Colorado are upset over the Patagonia clothing company entering the debate over fracking. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the company recently joined two campaigns opposed to fracking in Colorado. That motivated a group of conservative lawmakers from Grand Junction, Hot Sulphur Springs, Fruta, and Glenwood Springs to write a letter to the company, calling its involvement in the debate, quote, ill thought out. The letter also describes the company's move as doing damage to the state's economy. As the Daily Sentinel reports, the letter also claims Patagonia is actually helped by fracking, saying only those with higher incomes can afford to purchase the company's high-end clothing. Patagonia has so far backed the anti-fracking campaign's Frack Free Colorado and the Thompson Divide Coalition. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is Regional News. Stick around for the Wednesday morning music mix coming up in just a minute. For KVNF, I'm Travis Bubinick.